Morning. New Zealanders have woken to a tragedy unfolding in the great city of Christchurch. The earthquake that struck the Canterbury region at 10 to 1 yesterday has wreaked death and destruction on a dreadful scale. There is no reason that can make sense of this event, no words that can spare our pain. We are witnessing the havoc caused by a violent and ruthless act of nature. Many people have lost their lives. Families have lost their cherished loved ones. Mates have lost their mates. These deaths are the greatest loss. They remind us that in the end, buildings are just buildings. Roads are just roads. But people are irreplaceable. Today, all New Zealanders grieve for you, Christchurch. To all those who woke up in Christchurch today, feeling lucky to be alive, we know that you too are shocked, unnerved, and grieving. We know that your loss is sharpened by fear. Our minds go to the mothers and fathers comforting children struck by anxiety and disbelief. They go to the elderly, infirm and isolated, who experience this event alone and who remain blunted by shock. And they go to each and every contemporary who has stoically endured 6 months of aftershocks, only to be hit by the biggest shock of all. On behalf of New Zealand, let me say this to all of you. We feel your pain, as only a small nation can, for none of us feel removed from this event. I'm proud to be a son of Christchurch. I was raised there. I got my first job there. My sister lives there. My mother died there. I know what a wonderful place it is. But my connection to Christchurch is no rare thing. All New Zealanders have a piece of our heart in Christchurch. All of our lives are touched by this event. A friend or a family member who lives there, a time spent studying or a memorable experience there, we feel connected to your suffering. Your tragedy is our tragedy. Today I want Christchurch to hear this message. You will get through this. This proud country is right behind you, and we are backing you with all our might. The world is with you. Our Australian friends, our British and American friends, the great countries of this world are putting their shoulder to your wheel. They are sending their support, their expertise, their people to help us. Christchurch, today is the day your great comeback begins. Though your buildings are broken, your streets are washed and your hearts are aching, your spirit will overcome. While nature has taken much from you, it cannot take your survivor's spirit. This devastating event marks the beginning of a long journey for your city. It will be a journey that leads us from ruins and despair to hope and new opportunities. From great hardship will come great strength. It will be a difficult journey, but progress is certain. Things will get better. Christchurch will rise again. On behalf of the government, let me be clear that no one will be left to walk this journey alone. New Zealand will walk this journey with you. We will be with you every step of the way. Christchurch, this is not your test. This is New Zealand's test. I promise we'll meet that test. Today and tomorrow, our focus will be on preserving lives and rescuing those who are trapped and treating those who are injured. We pay tribute to the hundreds of search and rescue workers, emergency personnel, medical professionals, and each and every person who is contributing to this effort. You are heroes amongst us. Already the bravery and resilience of Canterbury is on show. In the weeks ahead, our journey will take us to new obstacles and new challenges. We have a city to rebuild. We have people's livelihoods to restore. We have a community's confidence to inspire. We will rise to these challenges. We will rebuild the city resolutely and with the conviction that this is what it is to be a contemporary, what it is to be a New Zealander. We are a country of pioneers. Whether we came by waka, sailboat or aeroplane, we came with the conviction that we could build a new life in this country. That great pioneering spirit will come to the fore in Christchurch over the coming months and years. Though lives lost will never be replaced, though your city will never look the same again, you will rebuild your city. You will rebuild your lives. You will overcome. We've seen many cities in the world come back from disaster on this scale, and Christchurch will be no exception. I know that all New Zealanders stand ready to help. Right now, we can help by rallying around those who are grieving, supporting those whose livelihoods are in peril. My message to all Kiwis who want to help is this: act on that desire. No act of kindness is too small. Right now, you can help by offering support to friends and families who are hurting. Offer them a bed or a roof over their head, if that is what they need. Make your donations to help those who have been hit hardest. And as infrastructure recovers, your visits to Christchurch will be welcome. Above all, throughout this journey, offer those affected your love. Know that your humanity is more powerful than any act of nature. As we look to the future, New Zealanders should know that the government is going to do everything we can to support the recovery and rebuilding of Christchurch. We are a resilient nature. We will not bow down to this challenge. Now let me turn to the events of today. In the past half an hour, I've been advised by the police commander on the ground, Superintendent Dave Cliff, of the latest information available on the loss of life. I need to emphasise that this information remains under constant review and will be updated during the course of the day. I'm advised that the police have confirmed 75 fatalities at this point, 55 of whom have been identified. There are many others missing, the status of which remains unknown. I've just finished chairing an emergency cabinet meeting, the third since the earthquake struck less than 24 hours ago. At cabinet today, ministers received the latest advice on the situation on the ground and discussed all elements of the rescue and recovery. Cabinet agreed with the decision made under civil defence emergency legislation by the minister to declare a national state of emergency. As required by the legislation, John Carter will make a statement to Parliament this afternoon. I've been in contact with Mayor Bob Parker to inform him of this decision and to reiterate my assurance that central government will provide all necessary resources to deal with this natural disaster. I've also spoken by telephone with the Leader of the Opposition, Phil Goff, to inform him of this decision, and I also thanked him for his efforts on the ground in Christchurch. In practice, this enables the strongest possible focus of local, national and international resources working together to achieve the best possible response in the shortest time. Under the Civil Defence Emergency Management Act, this declaration means the Director of Civil Defence Emergency Management, John Hamilton, may control the exercise and performance of functions, duties and powers of the CDM Group and Group Controllers. There is no other difference between the powers under a state of local emergency and the state of national emergency. Of course, these powers will be exercised working in close support of and cooperation with Bob Parker and the Christchurch Civil Defence team. At the end of this press conference, I'll be leaving for the airport to once again travel to Christchurch. I expect to arrive about 1 p.m. and I'll go directly to Civil Defence headquarters to meet with Bob Parker and be updated on the situation on the ground. I'd like to, if possible, visit some of the welfare centres that have been established. It's also my hope to be able to survey the damage in Lyttelton in some way. I intend to return to Wellington tonight for further meetings with ministers. I'd like to take a moment now to acknowledge the international offers of help we have received and to thank our friends around the globe for their sympathy and support. I've spoken with many leaders since the earthquake and we've received messages from all over the world. I cannot note them all right now because simply there have just been so many. But I've been touched by the support. There have been foreign nationals caught up in this disaster, and it's possible that some of the fatalities from this earthquake are visitors to New Zealand. Foreign affairs officials are providing all the support they can to consular staff from other countries as they work to assist their own nationals caught up in the disaster. To date, we've accepted offers of assistance from Australia, the United States, Singapore, the United Kingdom, Japan and Taiwan. We are constantly assessing the requirements in Christchurch and have offers of help from many other countries pending at this point, which we are keeping under review. A statement will be coming from Foreign Minister Murray McCulley's office shortly outlining further details of this overseas assistance. I'll be leaving for the airport in a few moments, so you appreciate I don't have a long time for questions, but I'm happy to take some now.
How many people are actually missing? What's the updated figure that you can give those trapped, those missing?
Well, the police commander indicated that the number was in the order of hundreds. He was very cautious, of course, because it's difficult to know the exact status of those that are missing, and because someone is missing does not mean that they've necessarily perished in this disaster. There were lots of reasons why they are unaccounted for. So at this stage, all we can confirm is that there are 75 fatalities, of which 50 have been identified, and another 20 are coming in for victim identification.
You talk about rebuilding, but it must be possible that there are people who are simply never, that's it, they're going to leave Christchurch and never go back.
Well, there may be some people that decide that they want to do that, and that example was on display in New Orleans, where some people did leave after a massive disaster there. But in the end, Christchurch will settle down again, and I believe people will rebuild, and we will rebuild the centre of Christchurch, which has been most heavily affected by this earthquake. That's going to take some time. We appreciate that, and many buildings will be destroyed as a result of the earthquake that took place yesterday. But it's my view, in the end, we will regroup, and we've seen that in other countries around the world.
This has led by a priority that sure. Those lives. At some stage, we look at the economic cost of this. Can the government afford the cost?
Yeah, so let me try and take you through the financials in the back of the like best estimate I have. The first earthquake was estimated to cost somewhere between $6 and $8 billion. That was covered through a $1.5 billion payment under EQC, a $2.5 billion recourse to refinancers or reinsurers overseas, and then the additional cost being borne either by private insurance companies or the government itself. We don't know the scale yet of the second earthquake, but we do know it will be treated as a separate event. In other words, the best advice I've had, $1.5 billion from EQC, a further $2.5 billion from reinsurance overseas, and then the balance to be borne by the private insurers or ourselves. So we can afford that, but obviously that's a significant dent in the resources of both EQC and a significant impact on the reinsurers to the tune of $5 billion. Sorry, one at a time, if you can.
JP Morgan Chase and the reinsurers come up with a figure of, I don't know how to drop it, $16 billion made around the insurance numbers.
Well, I can't rule those numbers out. We're just, no one's in the position to actually assess that. I mean, you'll remember when the first earthquake took place, there were initial numbers that were at $2 billion, then it went to $4 billion. The advice we get from Treasury is maybe $6 to $8 billion. My guess is they probably just doubled what we've seen. What we do know is that we think there may be another 100,000 claims. There were 180,000 claims, I think, in the first earthquake. We know that different properties have been affected. So some properties, for instance, they had no impact at all in the last earthquake, have been severely damaged. But the central CBD district, where a significant number of buildings will be destroyed and will have to be rebuilt, this is quite different from the first earthquake. And that feel that you got when you were on the ground there yesterday, it's quite clear that there will be a major rebuild, and the centre of Christchurch will have a very different feel to it in years to come.
Any discussion as to the Gillard stuff in Australia or some sort of extra tax on New Zealanders outside of Christchurch to help pay for
them? We haven't had those discussions. I mean, our hope would be not to have to do that, and that the one thing that helps us in New Zealand is because we have EQC, in a way we pay in through that levy process, and Australia hasn't had that. So in a sense, we've preserved for this, if you like, or preconditioned for this, but look, I mean, we'll have to take some advice on that in due course.
There are people without EQC cover, without private insurance cover, which means they don't have EQC cover.
Correct.
That was raised after the last earthquake. What about those people who don't have any insurance?
Well, I mean, historically, we've taken the view that people need to have insurance. Obviously, in great hardship, we've tried to help people, but as a general rule, we're conscious of the moral hazard. I mean, one point I would make, of course, is that in the case of a private residential home, land is covered by EQC. In the case of a commercial property, it's not. So I don't know what insurance some of these buildings have, but they're not covered for the land impact as a result of the earthquake, certainly not by EQC. They may be through their own private insurance. I'm not assured of that. But what I can tell you from being on the ground there is that there's significant liquefaction risk and significant damage to that land. Now, again, what that requires in terms of restoration is to a different
aspect. So people's land still be covered even if they don't have private insurance, it would be their home and their house and contents that wouldn't have EQC or private insurance covered?
If it's a residential home, they're covered. The issue is if it's a commercial property, the land's not covered. Well, it's covered assuming they have insurance.
Again, it's probably down the pecking order of priority, but the Rugby World Cup, some speculation that Christchurch might have to fall low as part of the tournament. Is that far-fetched?
very, very early days. I mean, there's been no formal discussions on that. I think that was sort of a view that was put out there last night when people saw the scale of the devastation. Look, if we could host the Rugby World Cup as we're intending to in Christchurch, I'd like to do that. It's some way into the future. It's a very important city to New Zealand, and it would be a demonstration that Christchurch is back up on its feet. I mean, one of the issues may be accommodation. We know there's been substantial damage to hotels, so again, that's something the Rugby World Cup Minister will be looking at.
And that you attract tourists, you know, down there, because they're seeing this internationally now. Some of the pictures going around the world, and you're getting people with Rugby World Cup tickets and plans to come here. Do you have a contingency plan in place given it is such a big business to put them?
Well, all of those things will need to be considered, but I mean, I think most people recognise around the world that. From time to time there are acts of nature beyond our control, and one never knows if one's going to find itself in a position when that occurs. Look, in the end, there's no question this is going to have a significant economic impact to Christchurch, because unlike last time, where essentially it was significant residential damage with some damage in the CBD, and we were able to remove that cordon quite quickly, get businesses back going, be operational. I'm not an engineer, but my on-the-ground assessment of looking at those buildings, it's going to be quite some time before the CBD is operational. That is going to pose a number of issues. Firstly, you'll remember that we had packages last time in terms of businesses, in terms of employees, and the governor's going to have to go away and consider those issues very quickly and soon. But my guess is that the CBD will be out of operation for quite some time.
Did it have a big impact on the government's course too, which you would do?
Yeah, so there's the economic impacts on the government's books are twofold. One is anything over and above what's provisioned under EQC, and then secondly, we were all anticipating economic stimulus from the Canterbury rebuild about 1%. Now the reality is there will be an even bigger rebuild, but there'll be a delay in how long that can take. I mean, it's taken 6 months to get to this point. You've had a lot of aftershocks. We're going to have to go back and assess every building. Be sure it's safe. We're going to have to be absolutely satisfied that people can go back to their place of work before we let people back in there. And that is going to have as you saw in Q3, as a result of the first earthquake, that was a negative impact on the national accounts. And look, it will be for Q1 now.
But presumably you're going to have to put up even more money in terms of supporting those businesses, because you're going to face a high level of unemployment for those businesses.
That's right. I mean, look, all of those are for another day, but it would be my expectation we will have to provide support for those people.
Do you need to reserve banks to move in any way around the ASEAN?
Look, I've seen some comments on that. I can't comment on anything that's for the Reserve Bank governor. I guess he'll go away and assess that. It will go ahead as planned. I was planning to campaign there on Friday. I won't be doing that. And they'll just have to leave that to the people at the bottom.
Will you have to reallocate portfolio responsibilities among your ministers? Gerry Brown is the earthquake recovery minister. It looks like his workload's doubled.
Yeah, so he is away, obviously, you appreciate it. He's coming back. I spoke to him last night. He's due back in the country, I think, at midnight this evening. He's going to come into the office, I think, about 6 o'clock tomorrow morning. We'll have some discussions with him, but I can't rule out that given the scale of what's going on, that I'll have to ask Gerry to have his sole focus of attention on Canterbury for a period of time, and maybe take his other ministries and ask other ministers to look after them temporarily. That is just a reflection of the scale and magnitude of what we're dealing with here, but I haven't had that conversation with him. I'd like to do that, and in due course I will, but this is a national state of emergency. It's a very significant event, and I just need, and the people of Canterbury need to know that we've got 100% focus on their rebuild.
Do New Zealanders need to be prepared for that death toll to continue to climb, and if so, to what extent should we be prepared for that to climb?
Well, I'm very nervous about speculating, you'll appreciate that. I mean, last night, the advice I had from the police was that it was 65 and likely to be potentially higher. The reason I gave that indication last night was because there were a range of rumours from virtually nobody killed as a result of the earthquake to thousands of people, and I felt it was really important for the country both to be able to brace themselves but also to get some sense of the magnitude. So I can't tell you what's going to happen from here, but logic would say to you that if we have 75 people that have been identified as being fatalities as a result of the earthquake with hundreds missing, it's likely that our death toll will rise.
Thank you.
Okay, thank you very much.